the little book of Jude this morning, and we'll break in the text in verse number 20. But ye beloved, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Here's our text today. And of some have compassion. Say this out loud with me. Making a difference. Read that verse with me. And of some have compassion. Making a difference. And others save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire. And ladies and gentlemen, every time a soul is saved, that's another soul that's snatched from the burning jaws of the devil's hell. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. And all the saints said, Amen. Verse 22 is our text verse today, and of some having compassion. Our theme for this year has been taken from Hebrews 10:25. Exhorting one another, not less of, but and not just more of, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. And our theme has been much more in 24. And we've been looking at some things in the Bible that we need more of than we've ever needed it in our life. I want to come today to this little word, compassion. We've seen that we've needed more anointing. We've seen that we needed more blessing. But I want to deal today and probably tonight with this little word, compassion. I don't know about you, but I believe the world needs a little more of that in 24. And may I say this morning, that compassion is a trademark of a true Christian. It is a brand mark of a New Testament believer. It is a wonderful attribute of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may I remind you this morning that you'll never be more like Jesus than when you're loving somebody that doesn't deserve or has not merited your love. I'm glad that God's love for you and I today is unmerited. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? You and I haven't done one thing to deserve a holy God to love us. But I'm glad he loves me like I was his only child. And I'm glad the Bible said that when we're born again of his Spirit, his love comes in us. He that hath not love hath not God, for God is love. I've often defined the word compassion is passion in action. Compassion is passion in action. Compassion is more than feeling empathy for someone. Compassion is more than just seeing a need. Compassion is more than just caring. But it's putting that love and that care and that empathy in action. Compassion is seeing a need and doing something about it. Aren't you glad our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ saw our need and was moved with compassion and went to the cross and did something about it? And I believe you and I, in this day in which we live in, we need to see the needs of others. We need to care about the needs of others. But we need to put it in action and do something about it. This verse, I've always loved it. And of some having compassion, making a difference. But I believe for the first time this week, it dawned on me just where this verse is located. Now, you talk about a gem in the midst of rocks. You talk about light in the midst of darkness. You talk about hope in the midst of despair. When you realize where the Holy Spirit inserted this phrase, and of some having compassion, making a difference. It's not in Luke 2 that records the birth of the Son of God. It's not in John 3:16, the great exposition of the love of God. It's not even found in Romans in God's plan of salvation. The Holy Spirit utters these words in this little book of Jude, one of the darkest scenes painted in all of the Bible. The book of Jude describes the last days that we will experience right before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This one chapter verse describes a society that's gone astray. It describes a world that's lost their moral compass. I believe it's a mirror reflection of 2 Timothy chapter number 3, where he describes in the last days, perilous, dangerous times shall come. I believe the saddest thing about the book of Jude is it's not a religion, it's not a moral decay as far as a civilization is concerned. It is not a government or a political decay as we would think about it. But it is a religious, a spiritual decay. It describes the apostasy that the religious world will encounter right before Jesus comes. It's called the apostasy. Or it's called in the scripture, the great falling away. It describes the religious atmosphere of the day that will be prominent right before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I believe today, ladies and gentlemen, not only can we go to Matthew 24, not only can we go to 2 Timothy 3, not only can we go to Romans chapter number 1, and see the moral decay politically, religiously, economically of our day. But I believe right there with the signs of the times is the book of Jude that describes the religious climate of the day right before the coming of the Lord Jesus. And when that dawned on me, I thought, no wonder. The Holy Spirit oversaw where the book of Jude was located. You see, there are two books in the New Testament, two letters, two epistles, that are only one chapter long. And we call them introductory letters or introductory epistles, because that little one chapter book introduces the theme of the big book that it follows. For instance, the little book of Philemon, where Paul tells Philemon about that escaped servant on us. If he owes you anything, put that on my account. And right after God putting it on somebody else's account, in that little epistle of Philemon, comes that wonderful book of Hebrews, where it says Christ, the mediator of the New Testament, has tasted death for every. Boy, aren't you glad at Calvary God put it on his account. Where here you have the little book of Jude. It's an introduction to the book of Revelation. What's in Revelation? The coming of Christ. The revelation of the Antichrist. The judgment upon the nations. Death and hell being cast into the lake of fire. The coming of Jesus Christ. The millennial reign of Christ. The kingdom as Jesus Christ is crowned King of kings and Lord of lords. And right before it, God says, as the shadows grow dark, as the sun begins to set, he left us some hope. That praise God, when the apostasy is over and the sin is over and the shame is over, Jesus will come. And so the little book of Jude is a great explanation of the religious climate of the day. And it's in that dark, dismal, hopeless, seemingly wicked, diabolical society that the light shines, and in the midst of it says, oh, and by the way, and of some have compassion, making a difference. You mean even in the day of darkness? Yeah, boy. Even in the day of great sin? Absolutely. Even in the day where the signs of the times are being fulfilled, we can still make a difference 1,000 times yes. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the world may be in its last day, and sin and hell and rebellion and society, morally, politically, financially, may be in its last day. But I've come to remind you that God the Father is not in His last day, and God the Son is not in His last day, and God the Holy Ghost is not in His last day, and the people of God are not in our last day, for our best day is yet to come. You can still make a difference. I'd love to walk with you sometime through this little book of Jude and give you a glimpse of the apostasy, the religious climate of the day right before Christ comes. There are statements in this little book that remind us of just what we're facing in these last days. For instance, in this little book, you'll find the deception of apostasy. He begins by saying it crept in unaware. How this world is being deceived religiously like it never has before. It gives you the deception of apostasy. Then it gives you a description of apostasy. There are about 12 different descriptions of apostasy given in this little book. He says it's like clouds without water. It's like trees without fruit. He said they're brute beasts, they're sensual, they're filthy dreamers, they're wicked, they're corruptible, and they take advantage of the people of God. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And I believe one of the greatest sins I see in the religious hour is a non-presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate every sermon a man preaches, every subject he preaches on, from how to raise bad kids. Boy, a lot of us need more of that. And how to manage your money and all of these things are wonderful. But ladies and gentlemen, Paul said, if a man who claims to be a preacher does not preach the gospel, woe unto him. Because ladies and gentlemen, the greatest message ever thundered from a pulpit is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I wonder if there's anybody today you're glad one day you heard the message of the gospel. Hallelujah. That Christ died for our sin. And He accepts all and refuses none. He gives the deception of apostasy, a description of apostasy. Then He gives the dangers of apostasy. He said they're like the angels that fell and they're kept in reservation for damnation to come. He said they've gone in the way of Cain. They've ran greedily after the heir of Balaam. And they perished in the gainsayings of Korah. And can I remind you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that apostasy does not lead to the pearly gates. Apostasy leads to the gates of hell. But I didn't come today to make a big deal on the deception and the description and the dangers. I've come today to deliver a message of light and hope in the midst of darkness, beginning in verse 20. And what I call the defense or the deliverance from apostasy. And our text this morning begins with what I call a heavenly conjunction. But for 19 verses, man, he's letting it rip. He's pointing out the sin and the apostasy and the darkness and the rebellion of the day. But can I say today, I'm glad God butts in. In the midst of a world where the religious climate is bad and dark and cold and lethargic, I want to stop and say it doesn't have to be that way. Because He says, but. And of the following verses, there are 5 action words. that if the body of Christ will act upon, we can start, we can turn the tide of religious coldness and apathy in these last days. I refuse to hang around people that are so negative that they say, well, nothing can happen. It's too far. It's too bad. Can I ask you a question? Is God still alive? Is the Holy Ghost still powerful? Has the blood of Jesus ever lost its power? Is the Bible still the Word of God? Is Jesus still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Hallelujah. Does God still answer prayer? You better believe something can happen. In the midst of a dark, lethargic, cold, apathetic religious environment, but ye, beloved. I wish I had time to preach on these five action words and preach on the antidote of apostasy. But there is an alternative. Notice in this verse he talks about the word building. Building up yourself. In this verse he talks about praying in the Holy Ghost. In this verse he talks about keeping yourself in the love of God. But then he does the last two, which I believe will make the difference in any society where it's acted upon. Verse 22, verse number 23, and of some having compassion. What does the Bible say to do? Make a difference. How big a difference will it make? Well, according to verse 23, a big difference. And others saved with fear. Pulling them out of the fire. I don't know about you this morning, but it's not giving up time. It's not turning back time. It's not giving in time. It's not quitting time. It's time to have compassion and get a burden and get a desire to see men and women and boys and girls turn to the only answer that is right for what is wrong in their life, and that is Jesus Christ and the message and the power of the cross. Because it has and it will make a difference. How big a difference it'll pull somebody out of the fire. By the way, anybody in this room this morning saved and you're on your way to heaven and you're not ashamed of it, can you raise a hand and say amen? You know what happened to you that moment you trusted Christ. You got pulled out of the fire. That moment in your life that you said yes to Jesus Christ, you got pulled out of the fire. That moment you said, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose up for me. And I'm asking you the best I know how. Come into my heart. Save me from my sin. Oh, Lord, change my life. I put my faith and my hope and my trust in the cross and in the blood and in the resurrection of your Son. God, I cannot save myself. Lord, I cannot change my life, but I'm trusting Jesus. I'm leaning upon Jesus. My hope is in the blood of Christ. That very moment, a hand reached further down than you could reach up, and God pulled you out of the fire. And today I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven because I've been rescued. Because somebody had compassion upon my life. They saw I had a need. And they had an urge to help. But they put it in action. And they did something about it. You can have concern, but that's not enough. You can have sympathy. You can have even empathy, but it's not enough. But compassion puts it in action. It's when you go beyond the need and you go beyond the desire and you go beyond the feeling and you literally step into somebody's life. And through your act of mercy and grace and love, you make a difference. But I'm preaching for the next few moments this morning. Ask yourself the question, where would you be? if somebody in your world hadn't have acted on their sympathy and empathy for your lost, ever dying soul. Where would we be if somebody hadn't came into our life and made the difference? You say, now, Brother Joe, you better give the glory to God. I am giving glory to God. But do you understand today that God didn't write Jesus saves in the clouds? He didn't hurl the gospel in the seashell that echoes the voice of the ocean. No, he didn't put amazing grace in the beak of the birds or the screaming of an eagle. But he saved somebody just like you and I. And he rescued somebody just like you and I. Hallelujah. And he changed somebody just like you and I. And he gives that message to us. And he gives that song to us. And he gives that antidote to us. And we take it to others and we say, Jesus is the answer. And Jesus is the way. And if you trust him, he will make a difference in your life. And every time you share that message with someone and they put their faith in Jesus Christ, it's like another brand that's been pulled from the burning. In your hymn book, you'll find several songs written by this lady named Fanny Crosby. She wrote great hymns of the faith during the Civil War. The only thing about Fanny I want to talk about when I get to heaven, bless her heart, you'll like it, Steve. She was a Yankee. But I believe if Fanny Crosby could come back, she'd do like you did, Bubba, move south. Can I get a witness right? But I love those great Fanny Crosby hymns. Boy, you won't beat some of them great, great songs. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. And one day, and boy, I wish Michelle was here today. She would love this. Fanny Crosby wasn't a Baptist. So the people she run around with would let her preach a little bit. Oh, Michelle would love that. How many would like to hear Michelle preach one time? How many would not be interested in anything she had to say one time? Michelle, if you're watching my live stream, your own brother condemns you. But they let her give her testimony. One day she was at the Pacific Garden Mission downtown Chicago. I've rode by it many times. She was giving her testimony. And a young boy walked up to her that looked like he was 100 years old. His daddy was a preacher. But he thought he knew more than his mother. He thought he knew more than his father. Anybody been there and done that? Made the wrong choices in life and wound up on Skid Row. Walked in that mission that night with no money in his pocket, no food in his stomach, and no clothes on his back, hardly than the rags he dug out of the trash can. But oh, she began to tell them about the Savior, about the love of Jesus Christ. And that young man walked the aisle and trusted Christ and got gloriously saved and later on became a preacher. And on the way out, he grabbed Fanny Crosby by the hand and said, Miss Crosby, I want to thank you tonight for rescuing the perishing and caring for the dying. Man, she goes to her little apartment, begins to memorize those words, and called her secretary over and said, pin down these words, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. I love this Jesus. It's mighty, and he's... I wonder if there's anybody in Jonesboro, Georgia this morning. You're glad that somebody got in the business of rescuing the perishing and caring for the dying. And when your heart quits beating and blood quits circulating in your body, you're not going to be like that rich man and open your eyes in hell. You're going to be like that blind beggar, brother. He opens his eyes and the first face he sees, it's his lovely Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm saved from the fire. I'm glad I'm saved from the fire. I'm glad I've been pulled out of the fire. Oh, somebody shared Christ. And through their compassion, it made the difference. I've said this over and over again for 40 years to some of you. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I believe a good illustration is in order. Bring out them chairs a little bit here. And I say I got three. And Daniel, I need you. And Dustin, I need you in case the lights go out. I did not know it was Halloween. But I want to say that's the skinniest pumpkin I've ever seen in my life. Just grab you a seat. Remember what I said compassion was? Passion in action. Say that with me. Compassion is passion. Say that with me again. Compassion is passion in action. It is seeing a need, having a desire and empathy, and doing something about it. All right, let's see. All right, here's a man that can't see well. And that's true. But here's a man who has a vision deficiency. And so we, when the Lions Club, we'll get together and we'll raise money and we'll have everybody donate glasses. And let me just say today, if your vision is perfect, you'll never know what a blessing them things are to normal people. I used to lay in the bed and read a book in fine print under a little light. Now I have to have a searchlight. So here's what I'm going to do. Brother Gary, I have sympathy for that man. I have empathy for that man. But I'm going to do more than compassion. I'm going to see he has a need. And I'm going to act on that need and say, here's your some glasses. That will help you see. I'll do more than feel sorry for him. I'm doing something about it. Jerry, I see a man that's crippled. And that's him. But you know what I'm going to do? I can't heal you. But I'm going to let you use this. I think that will help you. I'm going to do more and say, look at old poor brother Jerry. He's had his back operated on. He's had his hip operated on. He's had his knee operated on. His toe operated on. His ankle operated on. Disc 4, disc 5, disc 6, disc 7. And he's scheduled for a brain transplant. Can I get a witness? But I'm going to do more and say, poor Gus, pray for him, Gus. I put my passion in action. I'm going to do something. I'm going to give him something to help him along the way. Well, I see a man that's homeless. He's cold. He sleeps under a bridge. He lives downtown Atlanta on the steps of an abandoned building. Sad. Before you criticize them people, just thank God it ain't you down being down there. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be there. I don't have the money to build him a home, but I'm going to do more and say, that poor old fella, it's getting cold. I'm going to get with some of my friends over here at First Baptist at Forest Park, and we're going to raise some money and get some blankets, and we're going to go down to the homeless shelter and to the park and under the bridge, wherever we can, and we're going to say, him. I can't build you a home. I can give you a blanket. I'm doing more than just feeling sorry for him. I'm doing more than just saying, man, I empathize with you. I'm putting something in action. Dustin, I saved this one for you. Here's a man that's hungry. Stand up, son. There's no way you can be that skinny and eat right. He's not been going to Kentucky Fried Chicken and the Varsity and Krispy Kreme, the finer establishments of life. He's probably been eating granola bars and eating bananas. And let me just say this to you, banana and granola bar eaters, you're pale. Bless God, you need to eat you a hot dog about a foot long, and that'd help you right there. But that poor fella, he's hungry, he's thirsty. What we gonna do? We're gonna do more than just say, bless his heart. We're gonna give him a cup of water. We're gonna give him some food. You can tell he's sick, he's turning orange already. Now I can say, well, I feel sorry for them people that can't see, but I'm going to put my passion in action, give them some glasses. I'm going to do more than say, that poor fellow, he's crippled, he needs some help. I'm going to give him a cane. I'm going to do more than say, this old boy is cold. I'm going to give him a blanket. I'm going to do more than say, this old boy is hungry. I'm going to give him some food. Because me seeing their need and caring for their need won't help them. But if I will put my passion in action, I'm pulling them out of something. I'm pulling him out of his vision deficiency. I won't pull you hard, Jerry. I'll pull him out of his crippled state. I pull him out of being cold. I pull him out. Man, aren't you glad you got to do more than see the need and care for the need? Do something about it. I'm going somewhere. Aren't you thankful for those who give glasses to the vision impaired? What a noble thing. I'm glad for those who help the crippled. What a noble thing. And God will bless you for it. Thank God for those that care for the homeless. I'm glad somebody does. That's a very noble thing, and God will bless you. Thank God for those who care for the hungry. That's a very noble thing. I heard a professor in Bible college say this one day. I've never forgotten. Walter McMillan said this to me probably 37 years ago. Never forget it. He made this statement. He said, it's hard to tell somebody that's naked, cold, and hungry that you love them. And so does Jesus. But if you'll put a coat on their cold body and a warm meal in their gut, now say. And if there's one area that I think the church has failed, I believe it's our civic duty. I'm sorry. I got friends of mine that disagree with that, but they've been wrong before. Somebody needs to love. Somebody needs to care. Yes, yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our responsibility to help those who need help. But here's my point. There's something worse than being visually impaired. There's something worse than being crippled. There's something worse than being cold. There's something worse that's being hungry. You see, everybody in the world today is not visually impaired. Everybody in the world today is not crippled. Everybody in the world today is not cold. Everybody today is not hungry. There are people all over this world that have bread and money to spare. But there is a greater need. And it's universal. And here's plain talk. And there ain't nobody that ain't got it. And that is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, Brother Arthur, what could be worse than being visually impaired and crippled and cold and hungry? I can tell you what's worse than that. Lost forever. Without Jesus Christ. Can I emphasize that again? Yes, there is something worse than being visually impaired and crippled and cold and hungry, and that is lost without Jesus Christ. Yes, there is something worse than being cold and hungry and crippled and visually impaired and homeless. And that's to be lost without God, headed to a devil's hell that burns with fire and brimstone. That's 1,000 times worse. But here it is, and we're going to the house. As wonderful as a pair of glasses is, there's a greater gift. A cane, there's a greater gift. A blanket, there's a greater gift. A cup of water, a plate of food, there is something greater. Oh, Brother Joe, what in the world could I give a needy person that's greater than a glass and greater than a cane and greater than a blanket and greater than a meal? This is a Bible. And it contains the gospel, the message of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And sir, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yes. Amen.
Here's the best news you've heard all day. Better than a cup of water and a walking cane and a pair of glasses and a cuddly blanket. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And sir, it is no secret what God can do for what he's done for others. He'll do for you. Glory. I believe you're getting it.
Yeah. Amen.
I believe you're getting it. Oh, when I give this man some glasses, I've pulled him out of being visually impaired. I gave this man a cane. I'm pulling him out of almost not being able to walk. I give this man a blanket. I'm pulling him out of being cold. I give this man a meal. I'm pulling him out of being hungry. And I think we ought to pull people out of physical maladies if we can. But oh, ladies and gentlemen, the guy on the end got the greatest gift. I pulled him out of the fire. Pulled him out of hell. Pulled him out of the judgment. And now he's got the hope in his heart that he's going to heaven someday. Thank God for those who clothe the naked and feed the hungry and give sight to the visually impaired. That is a noble thing and it's awesome. But the greatest thing you'll ever do for anybody is when you share with them the message of the cross. Because how many believes in closing this morning, there is something worse than being blind, crippled, cold, hungry, lost. And you may have never sat in the hungry chair, the cold chair, the crippled chair, or the visually impaired chair, but I promise you every one of us has sat in this chair. But thank God, I'm glad somebody came by and did more than see my need and feel sorry for my need, but they put that passion in action and pulled him out of the fire. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that's going to turn America around is you and I sharing that message of the gospel, because it will make a difference. How many can truthfully say Christ made a difference in your life? I want how many can say Christ made a real big difference in your life. And he can make the difference in somebody else's if we'll go and care, put it in action. Several years ago, the kids was in school. I had a day off and Julie and I were just out riding around and just enjoying the day. We stopped by the Golden Arches and got a big old thing of fries and shared them. I would say we went Dutch treat, but we've never gone Dutch treat. I've paid for it all. Don't tell me money can't buy a date. Right back there it is. It didn't take nothing but a big order of fries and a Coca-Cola and two straws. And I want to tell all you rich kids, until you've drunk out of a drink, only thing better than using two straws is using the same one. When you pour, it don't take a whole lot. And I ran into the store, and I'm not going to call names because that's not necessary. But there was this famous person standing there buying a six-pack of beer. If I called his name, everybody in this room has seen him on television for many, 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 many years, starring in a show that was on television. And when you come from Marion, Virginia, Danville, Virginia, where I'm from, I mean, you meet a lot of people, like the game warden and the sheriff, but you don't meet no movie stars. The only movie star we had was that guy in our town that played the clown at the rodeo. He was the number one star of our town. And I was awestruck because I liked the program. Like, he's one of them tough dudes, them big old muscles. And I said, "You so-and-so, ain't you?" "Yeah." "Most unfriendly person ever met in my..." "Yeah." "Well, Julie, I forgot about your mother." But other than that, he said, "Yeah." And the Holy Ghost said, "Witness to him. Tell him about me. He's standing right there. And probably he'll never meet another old-fashioned preacher of the gospel in his lifestyle." And I froze. I chickened out. And I walked all the way to my car feeling defeated. And he got in his with his six-pack and drove away. Ladies and gentlemen, I wished I could tell you that was the end of the story. But to my shame, it's not. About 2 months after that, I'm listening to the news over the radio, WSB. And the headline that day, the number one lead story of that particular hour, actor so-and-so found dead today of an overdose. And it was the very one that was standing 5 feet in front of me. And the Holy Ghost telling me, "Witness to him." But my faith caved in and my flesh took over. And when I heard they found that young man dead of an overdose, I began to weep. Now, I don't know his life. I don't know anything about his family. But I'm telling you, would you think it would be rare, very rare, for somebody in that particular arena of life to get that close to an old-fashioned gospel Bible preacher? Very rare. Jerry Buffington, it is very, very possible that I could have been the only Bible preacher, even Bible-believing person, that close to that young man. And Brother John Burdett, I believe when I stand before the Lord and I get a little reward for maybe being a preacher, a little reward for preaching a sermon, and maybe a little old reward for winning one soul to Christ, I believe all of a sudden that'd be brought up. And according to 1 Corinthians 3, I'll suffer loss at the judgment seat. According to the book of Ezekiel, if I'm a watchman upon the wall and I see the danger coming and I do not warn the man of the danger that's coming, Ezekiel said his blood will be required at my hands. I wonder how many of us today will stand at the judgment seat with broken hearts and bloody hands. You say they won't hear it. That's not your responsibility. They won't receive it. That's not my responsibility. They may not come to Christ. That's not your or my ability nor responsibility. Our responsibility is tell it. Offer it. Show it. This man may refuse my glasses. This man may refuse my cane. This man may refuse my blanket. This man may refuse my food. And this man may refuse my message. But you know what? I can lay my head on the pillow and say, I gave him my glasses. I gave him my cane. I gave him my blanket. I gave him my cup. And I gave him Jesus. And if we'll do that enough, somewhere it's going to make a difference. Why stand all over the building more and